Welcome to another edition of the Friar Phil Show. Hope you're doing well out there. Had a good off season, I take it. I did. And kind of moved along pretty quick. I didn't expect opening day to come up as fast as it did. We have something special going on tonight. The first game of the system. She's connected now. That's good for her. Now she distracted me. Do you see that? See that? The first thing we have going on tonight is 3 a.m., the first game of the season for both the San Diego Padres and the Los Angeles Dodgers. And it's going to be something really, really special.
Soul Series. This is coming up.
Tyler Glasnow on the mound in that Dodger blue.
On the mound for the Padres is Yu Darvish.
Two top-of-the-rotation type guys.
Swing and a miss, and he struck him out.
This stuff is electric.
Oh, there it is. Strike three. Right by him.
Stay healthy. He's as good as there is in the game.
Who? You.
Swing and a miss. That was impressive.
He's got really good stuff, and he comes at you in a multitude of ways.
A heck of a pitching matchup. He is ready to go to Korea and dominate.
So I thought a good idea for today would be to have my friend Nick on. That's the Los Angeles Dodgers fan you might remember from the past couple of seasons, who doesn't actually live in Los Angeles, but he likes the Los Angeles Dodgers nonetheless and hates the San Francisco Giants. Hi, Nick. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good, Phil. How you doing?
All right. All right. Getting excited and ready for the battle tonight and the history in this as well, because this is the first time a Major League Baseball season is opened in Seoul, Korea. Anywhere in Korea. So this is pretty exciting. It's not to be missed. But if you do miss it, the good news for people is, and if you're listening to it after the game, listening to this after the game actually went on, you can go back to the Padres TV and you can go to the archives and rewatch it again. Even though you know how it turned out, you might want to watch it, because it's a very, very historic day. And, of course, Major League Baseball, you know, couldn't give us somebody like the Giants or something. They had to give us Ohtani and the Dodgers. So let's talk a little bit about the Dodgers. Ohtani's a big factor. You've got the big three in the beginning. You got Mookie Betts, Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman. Do you think they'll be able to live up to the hype?
You know what? I believe so, but I mean, hey, only time will tell. I mean, you never know how a long 162 game season goes. Even Freddie Freeman the other day said, you know, the most important thing is health. You know, I mean, you never know if somebody's going to get injured or whatnot, and me being a Dodger fan, you know, I know all about injuries. Last year, by the time we got to the postseason, we had so many injuries. We had no pitching left, and the Diamondbacks just really took it to us. So, that one still kind of stings. But at the same time, it was just like, you know, we just had no pitching left after all the injuries and you know, everything like that. But I honestly feel this season, with those three at the top of the order, I think it's going to be a special thing to watch, at least for me anyway, and all the other Dodger fans. By the way, I just want to throw this in here. I'm sorry. I was we were supposed to do this at 6 o'clock. I had a bunch of road construction I had to drive through, and like a typical Dodger fan, I was casually late. So,
well, that's all right. You know, I don't know why they do construction during the day, during rush hour. Anyhow, you know, why do it overnight when not too many people are traveling on the highway? But these dumbasses do it during the day.
During the day.
And, yeah, they don't really give a fuck if you're late to anything, you know, if you're slowed down to a crawl. They don't care. They don't care. They're just doing their job. And usually it takes, like, five or six of them to do a job that two people can do. You have two people doing the job and five of them standing around looking at a hole in the ground. So they could get some lights and do that overnight, but...
Not going to lie, that actually did happen today, Phil. It was five people staring down into a hole. That actually did happen. So you actually nailed that on the head.
Which used to infuriate me even more, you know. It's like I can see if it's an accident or something that's slowing things down and stuff. But then, you know, to get up to you creeping along, you know, you're thinking, oh, my God, you know, somebody had a bad accident or something. And you get there and it's construction and dumbasses standing around a hole. That really used to piss me off.
Yeah, and the kicker was it was in the middle lane, too.
Oh, no.
Of all the lanes, not even the right lane or the left lane. It was the middle lane of all things. So apparently they knew I was a Dodger fan. They wanted to defer my time. Wink, wink.
Of course. And of course, dumbasses don't know how to merge either.
No, they don't. No, they really don't. And
should I go or shouldn't I go? What should I do? You know, they can get nervous and shit. Just move your car. You know?
They say certain parts of California people know how to drive. No, they honestly really don't. Living here in Sacramento, we don't know how to drive here either. So, you know, it is what it is, you know. But anyways, we'll move on from that. I'm over that now. I was mad about it at the time.
take a deep breath.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I'm not going to lie. Now, I'm kind of excited to see Ohtani play in a Dodgers uniform today during the tonight, this morning, whatever you want to call it, during the first game between the Dodgers and Padres for the start of the season. I won't be excited if he hits a lot of home runs and does shit like that. But it's still, you know, exciting to see. It's very historic. You know, I've got people on X, used to be Twitter, but now it's X because in your feeds you get those things.
You can still call it Twitter. It's okay. I still do it too.
Maybe nudity in this. You know, click on that if you want to see nudity and some, you know, fish on there. And it's like, I don't want to see that. Now I'm talking about baseball, you know.
Right.
but anyhow, they've made it into XXX now, but I keep calling it Twitter because, well, Twitter sounds
okay,
better than
still,
X.
We all still do, Phil. We all still do it.
But anyhow, I got people on there that are saying, well, nah, it's too late, or I got to work the next day, or I don't want to bother getting up that early. But I think it's part of the fun for me to you know, after I do this and upload it, go take a little nap. So you know, in the wee hours of the morning watching baseball and the first game of our season.
Well, I'm working from home tomorrow anyway, so I don't have to drive anymore. So that works out.
Oh, that's good.
Same thing with Thursday too. So I'll go to bed here probably like 8 o'clock, you know, and get about 7 hours sleep and then get to it. But yeah, what you were saying about Ohtani being in a Dodgers uniform, and you know, honestly, I still have to pinch myself. You know, like this is actually true. Like he actually became a Dodger. It's just like it's seeing him in spring training was just kind of surreal in a Dodger uniform. Even though it was a blue spring training uniform, it was still surreal.
Right.
You know, and. And then, you know, getting Yoshinobu Yamamoto also, you know, about 12 days later, which is, you know, pitcher that everybody wanted. I just remember, you know, the Yankees were on it, and all signs were pointing to the Yankees. And then, you know,
boom, you guys got him.
Signing with the Dodgers. The Ohtani thing, though, was really humorous because I don't know if you remember, like, the day before he signed with the Dodgers, there was all this chaos. Somebody said he was on a plane to Toronto
with
him and everything like that. They asked Shohei about it. They said, where were you actually when this was when the news of this was going down? He said, I was just at home with my dog.
Seriously, so. He's on his way to Toronto. Look, I can see him in the plane up there. No, you can't, you dumbass. You got bad tip. That's what you got.
Exactly. It's like reporters are trying to, you know, I get wanting to break the story first. You know, I mean, yeah. I get all that and everything like that, but
something as important as this, you want to get it right. And I just couldn't see Ohtani going all the way to Toronto to play with the Blue Jays. Nothing against the Blue Jays and Toronto, but, you know, I could not see him going to Toronto, but I could see him going over to L.A., you know, to play for the real L.A. team. I don't know. I can't stand that Anaheim calls it L.A. Angels. That's how they were called, you know, when they were first started. But I liked it better, the California Angels, because it was like a team for all of California.
I lived in Southern California when they were the California Angels. Granted, obviously, I became a Dodger fan while living in Southern California, but I went to my fair share of California Angels games when I was a kid, and, you know, seeing Devon White and Wally Joyner play and everything like that. So I actually thought it was kind of cool that they were called the California Angels. Then they went to the Anaheim Angels, and then went to the LA Angels of Anaheim, and it was just like, what was wrong with the original California Angels
thing? I don't know.
It didn't make sense. I mean, we have a Golden State Warriors in the
state. Yeah, there you go.
You know, it's just like, you know. But then again, that's the Angels. They're poorly run. We all know this. You know, so.
Yes.
You know, they let Shohei go for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really make any moves. I mean, I hearing, like, a few days ago that Blake Snell was supposed to go there. I don't know what happened. He ends up signing yesterday with the Giants.
So. Yeah. And thanks, Blake. Now this gives us even more encouragement to beat the hell out of the Giants this year, too.
Just because of that. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it was funny because I guess the Dodgers were actually mentioned as a team to get Blake Snell, but, I mean, we really – I'm not trying to sound arrogant or anything like that because I'm really not, but I don't think we really needed Blake Snell. You know, I think we made enough moves as it is and – spent enough money, except, I mean, well, Shohei was only getting $2 million a year because of the deferred contract. That's why I threw in the deferred joke earlier. But
your pitching rotation's in pretty good shape. And what's it, Yamamoto?
Yoshi Yamamoto.
I'll just call him Yoshi. Yoshi's going to pitch tomorrow night.
That's what a lot of people are calling him now, too. And apparently he has a stuffed Yoshi in his locker, so we're gonna roll with it.
How cute!
I know, right? Apparently, some fan mailed it to him, so he's gonna roll with it. I mean, obviously, you're gonna see Tyler Glass now at 3 a.m. We made a trade with Tampa to get him, and then sign him to an extension. None of which is deferred, by the way. I just had to throw that out there for you. Because we've been getting a lot of deferred jokes, and then you'll see Yamamoto on Thursday. But we have Walker Buehler coming back sometime in the next month. They're not starting him out right away. Kershaw, who re-signed with us, he won't be back until August, roughly. Apparently Gavin Stone was named our fifth starter. So, we're looking pretty good as far as, you know, the rotation is concerned. Bobby Miller, who, was called up last year, has an electric fastball and everything. You know, we're looking pretty good there. The only thing, every team has a weakness, but you know, if you were to ask me if you were going to hold a hypothetical gun to my head on what the Dodgers' weakness is, it's probably going to be infield defense as of this very moment right now, with the exception of Freddie Freeman, because he's a Gold Glove winner. But
yeah, because you've got Mookie Betts playing shortstop now.
He's playing shortstop. The entire plan, the entire offseason was for him to play majority of the time at second base, which is a position that he played all of his life. Up until he got called up by the Red Sox when they made him an outfielder, which clearly worked out for him.
Yeah.
and so the plan was he was going to play second base this year for 80-85% of the year. But the guy who was supposed to be our starting shortstop, Gavin Lux, apparently has got the yips as far as his throws are concerned. So, and we've seen guys get the yips before. You know, throwing the ball in the infield. So they decided, okay, well, let's just put Lux at second. We'll put Mookie at short as of now. And, you know, we'll roll with that. And then Max Muncy's playing third base, who's okay.
My favorite.
You know, it's so funny. People outside of L.A. Can't stand Max Muncy. I don't know why. I know why Giants fans hate him. Because he's of the all the home runs that he's hit the most against San Francisco. And the away stadium that he hits the most home runs at is actually at Oracle Park in San Francisco. So I know why the Giants fans don't like him.
I don't know why I don't like him. Maybe he's got that smirky look on his puss or something. I don't know what it is.
To him. He does have he has a little smugness to him. So I don't know, on second thought, I can see why some fan bases don't like him after going through all that. So, but yeah, he does have a little smugness about him. He does have that look on his face where, you know, it's like a FU look on his face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I hit this and fuck you. And if you don't like it too bad, I'm a Dodger. And of course, we're the supreme beings of Major League Baseball. So
something like that.
Yeah,
it's something like that. So so since Mookie is not playing right field, we were going to go with a platoon in right field with a couple of really good defensive players. It's going to be Jason Hayward, who we had last year, who actually had a bounce back year because his career was almost done. And he had a good year, so we brought him back. And we were going to have an old Padre share time with them named Manny Margot. We traded him about 2 weeks ago. And we re-signed everyone's favorite, Kike Hernandez. I guess maybe they're having a platoon. I don't know. We have Chris Taylor, who can also play infield, outfield too. We signed the guy who's going to be our everyday left fielder, more than likely, who played in Seattle last year and played in Toronto years before, Teoscar Hernandez. And then we have James Altman playing center field. So, and then Will Smith catching. I like where we're at right now, but if there's anything that does scare me, it is our infield defense. I can honestly say the Padres have a better infield defense, especially with Ha-Sung Kim playing shortstop.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
definitely.
I mean, granted, you do have five shortstops that you're going to be playing every day.
Right.
Or five former shortstops. Which
so we lose one, we got another one. But yeah, just funny how that worked out. But
I know Manny Machado. I know he's probably DHing for a little bit. I know.
He still has a
little surgery there during the off season. But
Manny needs to step it up a little bit, though. He looked in those two exhibition games. He didn't look good swinging the bat. It just looked like, you know, I'll just come up here and swing away. These games don't matter. You know, it kind of looked like that to me. Because
the lights turn on, Manny Machado will show up.
Yeah, I guess. I guess. But, you know, we're kind of counting on them, too. You know, our top four or five guys being, you know, Xander Bogaerts, probably Tatis, and then Cronenworth, Machado and then Ha-Sung Kim to get things done in the top of the order. And if they don't do that and they don't perform and they can't hit for any particular reason, then that's, I think, going to be part of our downfall during the season if they don't get it together. Like you said, our defense in the middle infield, especially with Bogaerts learning second now, and he's doing pretty good with that. Ha-Sung Kim at shortstop. And, of course, you know, when Manny gets back into the swing of things and playing third base again, you've got that corner covered really good. And Cronenworth's gotten pretty good at first base. So our infield is good, and our outfield isn't too bad. We've got this phenom now, who's 21 years old. I believe he's 21 years old. Jackson Merrill, who's going to be our starting center fielder. And there have only been two other players in Major League history that started at his age and played center field and started in the big leagues. And I can't remember who they are. I'm older now. I have, you know, that memory loss for certain things.
That happens. Yeah, Jackson Merrill, I've read a lot about him. I haven't seen him play. I mean, for obvious reasons, he hasn't played a regular season game yet. I mean, I've only seen, like, you know, maybe a couple of highlights during spring training or whatever. But I read a lot about him, and obviously he came up as a shortstop. No spot for him there.
Right.
So, you know, they're like, hey, kid, let's go learn the outfield. I heard at the beginning it was a little bit of a struggle, but now it seems like he's made the transition so far.
Oh, yeah. It's like he's been out there all his life, you know.
Yeah.
For, you know, the amount of time that he hit puberty. I mean, I'm saying all his life, you know, like he's a 30-some-year-old ball player. He's only 21. But, yeah, he's a good kid. He's got a lot of good attitudes about the game and about his approach. And his mom is really cool, too. She's on Twitter. Well, X. She's on X as well, and she's cheerleader of the Merrill team this year.
Oh, there we go.
And it's cool seeing, you know, moms of players getting into the game and getting behind their kid. So he really sounds like a really down-to-earth kid from the interviews I've seen. He's almost more mature than some other 21-year-olds I know. It's like he's been playing in the major leagues for years now, the way he comes off. And there's just something special about that kid. So that's the other historic thing that's happening tonight with the game between Los Angeles and San Diego.
All right, Jackson Merrill. I mean, hey, some ball players just got it like that, you know. I mean, you know, it you know, sounds like he was probably, you know, raised to play the game a certain way, and you know, you have to be more than talented to be able to make your first major league start at age 21,
right?
You know, so you have to. There's other things that come with it. Not saying that. Fernando Tatis was immature or anything like that when he first came up. He made some questionable decisions after that, but you know,
right.
He seems to have learned from it. You know, I mean, I think Fernando Tatis is going to have a really big season this year because he kind of has to.
Yeah.
You know, Juan Soto was there for a year and a half, and for whatever reason, I thought this was all going to work out. And you know what? For a little bit, it actually did. I mean, not this past year, but the year before, you got him. You guys beat us in the NLDS. We don't need to talk about that.
Wipe that from your memory.
Yeah, I unfortunately I can't because I'm just like that. But you guys got to the National League Championship Series, and everything seemed, you know, pointing in the direction of this past season for you guys to have a really big season. And for whatever reason, it just didn't seem like with Juan Soto, it just didn't seem like it fit. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it.
It didn't gel, and I'm kind of pissed off with him, you know, because he didn't seem like he was sorry at all to be traded to the Yankees, and he's just like, okay, bye, see yous later. I'm putting on the pinstripes with the Yankees. Yeah. Now, you know, fuck you people in San Diego. And, well, you know, sure, some people disagree with me, but to me it came off like that. I mean, you know,
oh, I feel you.
Even if you're thrilled to death to get traded to someplace else, you still have a little decorum and you know, have something nice to say to the team you're leaving and the fans that you're leaving. And again, I can't remember if he did actually say something and make a statement on Twitter or whatever it was. He was on Instagram. But it seemed like as soon as he was traded, he was slapping up the pictures of him in the Yankee pinstripes right away. And it's just like, well, see you later. So we're going to have, I think, Jerks and Profar start in left field. And he's a scrappy kid.
Yeah, I saw you guys brought him back. He's a good clubhouse guy. You know, they at least in his prior time in San Diego, it seemed like everybody on the team and in the clubhouse really liked him. So, I mean, you know, why not bring back a guy who was a good clubhouse guy? Because it just seemed like the clubhouse was something was amiss in the clubhouse last year. You know, and.
And he fixed it when he came back. For some reason, every game we played, we won.
After we got
him back.
Yeah, you guys had a really hot September.
Yeah, so I'm hoping they can replicate that.
You guys almost backed into the playoffs. Or you almost, not backed in, you almost snuck in.
Almost snuck in. Except for those damn Arizona Diamondbacks, who both the Dodgers and the Padres have to beat the hell out of. This year as well. It'll make that a game plan.
Yeah. You know, Arizona, believe it or not, they actually did spend some money this offseason. I didn't think they were. I thought they were going to, you know, status quo, we're a small market team, whatever. But no, they actually they shelled out $80 million to get Eduardo Rodriguez, a left-handed pitcher, who the Dodgers actually tried to acquire at the trade deadline last year from Detroit. But he used his no-trade clause.
Wow.
And we could have used him. I can tell you that much. We could have used him. So he said, I wanted to be closer to my family, which was a total cop-out because his family was living in Florida. and he's playing in Detroit. And then
right.
with 3 years left on his contract, he actually opts out and signs with Arizona. So...
go figure, people.
Yeah, he's not real liked in the Dodger world. So, you know, I mean, hey, I know everybody has a, you know, a preference on where they wanted to play. I guess he just didn't want to play in LA. And, you know, LA's not for everybody. So, I mean, hey, best of luck to him. I hope we score about 6 runs in the first inning when we face them for the first time, and you know. But hopefully he's healthy for the entire season, and we'll leave it at that.
Hopefully our pitching staff is healthy for the entire season, especially the top ones with Yu Darvish, who's pitching tonight, and then Musgrove, who's pitching tomorrow night or morning, whenever the hell you want to call it. Wednesday morning and then Thursday morning. Musgrove pitches.
It'll be dark outside, so, you know.
And then after him in the rotation is going to be Dylan Cease, who we just acquired from the White Sox. And I'm not sure, because I don't want to commit to it, so I'm not really sure who's going to be the fourth and fifth. in the rotation until I actually see, you know, who's on the 26-man roster, which, by the way, if you're listening to this right now when I put it up this evening at 10 o'clock tonight, I'm sure for the Dodgers as well, the Padres will be putting out the 26-man roster at 10 p.m.
Yes, so I think ours is around that time too. Yes. And for those of you that have not seen Dylan Cease pitch, I'll tell you this. He's an upgrade over Blake Snell. I'm just going to tell you right now. If you've never seen Dylan Cease pitch, he is nasty. He's filthy. So I feel like he is better than Blake Snell. So,
yeah, no, I haven't seen too many people crying because Snell left. You know, some people are going to miss him because he did a lot of fun interviews and stuff and talking with the guys that do the TV broadcast. So it was fun like that, and he was an interesting kind of guy, and he just seemed laid back and, you know, not a bad person. But as far as that pitcher, you know, you don't know if he's going to have another Cy Young season this year or it's going to be like the season before the Cy Young season. So Giants took a chance with him.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants, I mean, obviously, as you know, Bob Melvin is their manager, so I'm sure he's probably in the ear of the organization to at least bring Snell on for this year. He has it was a 2-year deal for $63 million, but he has a player option for the second year, which means if he balls out this year, he's opting out and try to get the bag, as they say, because apparently he fumbled it this offseason.
Or his manager did.
Boris. His agent. Yeah, agent. That would be the...
Boris.
That would be Scott Boris. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he fumbled a lot of people's deals.
I mean, a lot of clubs said no to these hundred and some million dollar contracts and with good reason. I mean, you don't need to make that much money. It's so people always bitch at me because I talk about money and money for what people get paid in sports in this country. You know, some of these people make more money than a neurosurgeon does in a year.
Oh, yeah,
there's something wrong with that. You know, somebody that plays baseball and hits a ball around the yard and stuff. I know it, you know, it's an important job in the sports world, and I know it's not an easy thing to do to be a major league player, but I don't think you need to have, you know, $312 million over 7 years to play the game, because it goes right back to the fans. Yeah, it goes back to the Padres fans. It goes to the Dodgers fans. The tickets are more expensive this year. Season tickets were more expensive this year. I'm sure the concessions are going to get more expensive. You know, for a couple of years now, it's been like $5 for a bottle of Dasani water.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, fuck you. I'll go over to 7-Eleven and get water because they can bring in a certain size of water. I'm not paying $5 for water. I'll go to the damn water fountain first.
Oh, yeah. You know, but
things are going up, and it's because of the player salaries. They got to pay these guys. It seems like, you know, the better the player is, the more you got to shell out. But it, again, you know, affects the fans, and some fans can't afford to go anymore to ball games and to Petco Park or to Chavez Ravine. You know, they can't do it, and it's becoming a sport for the rich again.
It honestly seems like that. So living here in Sacramento, you know, we have a basketball team called the Sacramento Kings. I go to quite a few games because I live about 25 minutes away from the arena, and it's $10 for a bottle of water.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Crazy, huh?
I mean, is there some kind of magic substance in that water? You shake it up and it makes your dick grow bigger or something, you know, for $10. It better do something like that.
I mean, at that point, I'd rather just spend $5 more and get an adult beverage. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it, you know, at that
yeah,
point,
why but, not? And it's yeah, probably so. Not. It's probably not good water, like spring water, or something that's no,
it's
you know
bottled,
upgrade.
It's bottled Dasani water.
Dasani water, yeah,
it's
which
Dasani
is basically
water, yes.
water that just is filtered out.
Yes.
By the Nestle company, which.
So that's why
uses up a lot of our California water. But that's right. another show and another subject.
So basically, I usually don't buy anything in the arena there because the arena is in downtown Sacramento. There's all kinds of places around the arena, you know, kind of like Petco Park. You know, you got the gas lamp and everything like that. You can go get something to eat, whatever, before the game. Do that, you know. So, but yeah, $10 for. For a Dasani, it's kind of like, really? This is what we're doing now? You know, so...
Oh, by the way, if you hear a woman in the background, that's not anybody that's human. That's Alexa. She's being bad tonight. I told her to put her volume down, and she's raised it back up to give me a 7 o'clock reminder. Quiet, Alexa. Right. I'm recording.
Right? No, yeah, Alexa can do that. It's kind of like Siri. Siri just kind of pops up out of nowhere on your iPhone and too. So it's just like really okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm on the damn toilet now, Siri. Would you give me a break?
Exactly. But no, I'm looking forward to you know, first game and everything like that. Yeah, like you said, you know, obviously the Potters being over there, you're like, oh, couldn't they give us the Giants instead of they gave us the Dodgers, you know, but...
Well, we got the Dodgers because of Ohtani.
Because of Ohtani, yeah.
Because it's, you know, a big fan base for him over there, and I'm sure
yeah.
You know, elsewhere in that part of the world. And, of course, you know, there's a big fan base for Ha-Sung Kim. That's why we're playing. And so it should be interesting, and we'll see who comes
definitely.
Out the better team tonight. And I think it relies mainly not on just offensive production, but pitching tonight. How our pitching goes, how Glasnow does for you guys.
Right. And from what I understand, as far as the stadium that they're playing in, is more pitcher friendly from my understanding. So, even though we had an exhibition game was Saturday night and Freddie Freeman hit the scoreboard in right field, but there were a lot of balls that I saw that were kind of dying on the warning track or whatnot. So I guess the ball doesn't carry that great there, but we'll see. I'm sure Glasnow and Darvish like hearing that the ball doesn't carry well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you guys, if memory serves me correctly, you guys had a 2-game series in Mexico City last year, right?
Right.
With the Giants, and the ball was just flying all over the place.
Oh, yeah, because of the elevation. It was worse than Denver and stuff. So, yeah, the ball was flying out of that place like crazy. Fortunately, during the Mexican series, nobody drank any water, so we didn't have any dysentery or shits from any of the players. But they were shitting when they saw how the ball went out of that place.
Oh, that was a hitter's dream.
Oh, yeah. They go, oh, boy.
Apparently, I guess Major League Baseball is going to continue with that 2-game Mexico City series again this year. Not... You guys aren't in it, but I guess it's the Astros and the Rockies or something like that.
Everybody wants to see them. Bring your garbage can.
Right.
For the Astros, you know.
I know. Don't remind me. 27. I actually did have a friend ask me. He was like, so when are you going to get over what happened with 2017? And this was like a few years ago. He asked me, and I said, I'll let you know.
Never.
He asked me recently, about 2 weeks ago, and I said, have I let you know yet? He said, no. I was like, I'll let you know.
There you go.
It's one of those things that, you know, I knew for a fact that that team was not better than the Dodgers in 2017. Something was weird, and then it comes out right before COVID in 2020 that the Astros did in fact cheat, and it's just it's kind of like when that I was ready to put that behind me, and then when they came out with that, it was kind of like, you know, open a scab on an old wound, you know. It was just like, and then the commissioner didn't really do anything about it. I didn't want the trophy at that point. I just wanted it taken away from the Astros, just to say that nobody wanted that, meant that nobody beat the Dodgers. But, you know, we weren't the only ones that were screwed in this whole thing too. The Yankees were screwed also.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so I'll never give the Astros the benefit of the doubt. They won the World Series in 2022. I think they probably cheated on that one too.
But, probably.
You know, that's another story for another day.
Asterisks on those.
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, hey, a lot of people like to put an asterisk on the 2020 Dodger season. And, you know, I mean, everybody's got to have their own opinion about it.
Well,
I mean,
it was COVID, you know, so we didn't have as many games as we usually have.
Yeah.
It still was, you know, in the time period that we could play, they did win it fair and square.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, nobody,
you know,
cheated or was doing anything, you know, bad, so. I don't see why people think there should be an asterisk on the Dodger win that year.
It's mostly Giants fans up here. I'm just letting you know that right now.
That
it's
explains
mostly
it.
Giants fans.
That explains it. So what's your lineup look like for this evening, your projected lineup?
It's going to be Mookie and then Shohei. And then Freddie at the top three. I am thinking, since Darvish is a right-hander, I'm thinking Max Muncy's going to be the cleanup hitter, and then Will Smith's going to bat fifth, more than likely. I believe Teoscar Hernandez is probably going to bat sixth. Batting seventh, I'm probably going to go – actually, you know what? I was thinking about Lux, but I think Lux is probably gonna bat ninth.
Yeah, I would think so.
I think Lux is gonna bat ninth. I'm gonna bat Outman seventh, and then Hayward eighth. So that's what I think is gonna be. So just to recap: Mookie, Shohei, Freddie, Muncy, Will Smith, Teoscar Hernandez, James Outman, Jason Hayward, and Gavin Lux. So that's what I think is going to be.
Jackson Merrill is batting ninth again tonight, I believe. They've been putting him ninth, kind of interesting. You know, he was the one getting most of the hits in the last two exhibition games, along with Ha-Seong Kim. But that may work, you know. That's good. If he gets on base, he's got somebody on base, you know, for Xander Bogaerts, then either Cronenworth or Tatis, probably Tatis, and then Cronenworth comes up, Machado cleans up, and then here comes Ha-Seong Kim, you know, to lead the bottom of the order at fifth. As for the rest of them, I don't know exactly where they'll be. I know Profar will be playing left field. And who's playing third? There were like three different people auditioning for it, but I think this kid, Paulie, a lot of people think he'll be starting and on the 26-man roster. But it'll be interesting to see that roster when it comes out at 10 o'clock tonight. All right. It's good talking to you. We're up to our 45-minute point here, and I'd like to keep it... around that, because if you go longer than 40 minutes, 45 minutes, people's attention spans drift off and they don't hear what the hell you're saying anyhow, so it's easier to just
definitely
just end it on a good note when they're still listening. All right, good talking to you. I will talk to you more during the season, especially when we have series with the Dodgers. And good luck to your team tonight. Not too much, but good luck to them.
Hey, good luck to you too, Phil. And hopefully these are good games. And you know, appreciate you having me on. So
no problem, no problem. Always fun, always fun. All right, that does it for today. We are finished with the first podcast of the season. I want you to take care and enjoy the game tonight. If you can watch it, watch it. Like I said, you can go back to Padres TV and go in the archive and watch it if you can't get up at 3 in the morning. It's full of history and, in my opinion, not to be missed. Take care, everybody. I'll see you next time.